This is Polly Wendelboe. Today is February 20th.
Right.
And I'm interviewing Adam Brehm.
Right.
Adam, where did you grow up?
Lincoln, Nebraska. My parents were Germans from Russia, and they came over. They were settled in. The railroad brought them over from Russia, and they settled down in Lincoln, Nebraska, because they were building the railroad between Chicago and Denver. So that's how they ended up in Lincoln, and that's where I grew up.
Okay. And can I ask how old you are?
84.
Okay. What did you do prior to your military life, and how did your military life evolve? How did you get
Well, I just went to high school, took the usual stuff going there in school, and that was it. I work at home, and when it was time to get drafted, my time was coming up. We had a friend in the family who was in the military, and he says, "Adam, if you want to get into what you want to do, you better enlist. Don't get drafted, because if you get drafted, they'll stick you any place." And so I enlisted, and I wanted in the Air Force.
And that was your choice.
And that was my choice. Yeah.
And what was it about the Air Force that you wanted?
I wanted
to
fly.
Did you fly?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That big bird over there.
Really?
I was central fire control gunner. I didn't pilot. I was a gunner. I was a central fire control gunner, which is the upper turret. And our gun turrets on the V-29 were remote control. So we didn't have to sit inside the turret like they did in the 17 and the 24s. We could operate remotely.
Okay.
So I sat on top and operated the two top turrets.
And that's a B-29?
That's a V-29.
Were they cold like some of the other ones? They said they were so cold, their hands.
No, no, they were warm. We had heat in there, yeah.
Okay.
From the engines. Yeah.
Interesting. Why did you enter the military?
Why?
Why?
Because I was ready to get drafted, and I wanted it was time to do something. So I wanted to fly. So I enlisted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall your first days in the service?
Well, not really. That's been so long ago. It was a little different. We were down in Shepherd Field, Texas, where I went for basic, and we went through basic training, and the sergeant told us, "Well, it's time. You guys are going to go into another service." I can't remember what it was now, but anyway, and I said, "No, Sergeant, I enlisted. I wanted to fly." He says, "Well, go tell it to the chaplain." So I did. I went and told the chaplain that I had enlisted so I could fly, and they were going to put me in a chemical warfare outfit, and I didn't want to do that. So the next day I was on my way to Lowry Field to learn how to be a gunner.
So the chaplain had pull.
Oh, yes, he did. He sure did.
So you were trained at this other field to be a gunner.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. I went to Lowry Field to be a gunner. Yep.
And how long of training is that?
Oh, that was about six weeks, 8 weeks, something like that.
And what year was that? Was the war already going on?
Oh, yeah. It was in the early 40s. When the war was just this, they had dropped the bomb on Honolulu. I mean, they reinvaded Honolulu, and it was shortly after that that I joined. Mm-hmm. So that would have been in the 42.
Early 40s, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it 41?
41, yeah,
Pearl
42,
Harbor
yeah.
Happened, yeah. Can you remember a memorable boot camp experience?
Well, only that business with the
chapel.
With the chapel.
Did you enjoy boot camp?
Oh yeah,
it was tough?
It was different. It was different from home. It was something new, and I was okay.
Yeah. Were you married when you
No,
went
no,
in?
Oh okay. No, I can get married afterwards.
Okay. You served during wartime.
Oh, yeah.
Where were you stationed then during the war?
Saipan and Guam. We flew off of the islands of Saipan and Guam over Japan and the other islands where we were invading. We were in a photo recon squad, so we were taking pictures. We didn't drop bombs. All we did was take pictures of these various places. And we'd go over to Japan and had 27 missions over Japan. We'd fly over the area and take our photos and then bring them back, and then they would research those to determine whether or not it was worthwhile hitting, or if they'd already bombed it, is it worthwhile going back in again? Mm-hmm. So that was what our job was.
Now, were you actually taking photos yourself, or you were in charge of the gunnery?
I was in charge of the gunnery.
As protection.
System, yeah.
Okay.
Now, we had another photo man in charge of the cameras.
So the cameras could take photos of the ground from the air?
Oh, the cameras were almost 6 feet tall. They were big cameras.
Wow.
And they were mounted in the airplane, and then the sight was out of the bottom, the belly of the plane. There were little windows down there, and they would look through those.
Did they develop them then back on Saipan or Guam?
They brought them back, yeah, Saipan.
So they had equipment to develop that large of
them? Oh, yeah. They brought that stuff back and run it through the machine and do the developing. Mm-hmm. And then they would research the pictures.
Was it captains and people on the island that researched it and made that decision whether you needed to go back and invade again? Or did it get sent on to higher command?
The higher command, yeah, right.
Okay. Did you actually see any combat?
Oh, yes. The one mission we flew was back to Okinawa. Not Okinawa, Nagoya. And that's the name of the town. Nagoya? Yeah. Anyway, we were coming away from there after having taken the pictures. And we didn't know it, but the Japs had gotten some Messerschmitts, ME-109s, and they could reach our altitude. We always flew at 35,000 feet, and they could do the maneuvering up there, whereas the Zeeks and those other planes couldn't do that. Well, we didn't know that they had gotten those ME-109s, and all of a sudden, we had gotten away from the target, so we were resting. And we were resting, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 and we had two engines shot out. He'd gotten us from the bottom, coming in from the bottom, and shot out two engines.
Out of how many engines?
Out of four. So we lost two on one side, on the left side. And then he went over, he came back, he was going to come around from the other side on top, and I was able to get my guns turned on, get them all set up, and I was able to shoot him down, put him down in the water where he was trying to put us.
Wow, and you were able to land with only two engines?
Yeah, well, we left the area. And we were lost. We didn't know which way we were going. And as it turned out, we were heading toward Russia because our navigation system was shot out too. And all of a sudden, on each wingtip is a P-51 Mustang fighter that come up from Iwo Jima to help airplanes like us in trouble back to Iwo. So they took us back down to Iwo Jima. They turned us around and headed south. So we got that back to Iwo, and the pilot was able to land the airplane very nicely. It was tough, but then he did it. He got it down. And then they replaced the engines, and then we took it off and went back to Saipan, or Guam, I mean, yeah.
So if you hadn't been able to do your job, you would have been in the water.
Oh, yeah, we'd have been in.
Enemy.
Yeah, he'd have gotten us on the second run. Yeah, we'd have been in the ocean and never come back.
Can you think of any other experiences that you'd like to
share? Well,
the
other memorable experience was after we dropped the second bomb, atomic bomb, at Hiroshima. It was our turn to fly, our crew's turn to fly, so we went up and took pictures of that. And I have never seen such devastation in my life as that city was completely wiped out. And I think the other town was the same way. They were both completely eliminated.
You mean like leveled, the buildings?
Oh, yeah.
Were just leveled?
Buildings all leveled, yeah, right.
And what day, like how long after that did you fly over there?
Just about two, 3 days after the bomb. Yeah. Wanted pictures of that right away. General LeMay wanted pictures of that right away so he could see what happened.
And was there any hazard of flying that close to that atomic?
Well, I still suspect that there was, but we didn't pay any attention to it. But I think there was still gases and whatever coming up out of that area that we should have avoided. But we went in anyhow and did it.
And there was still smoke and stuff in the air?
Yeah, it was bad. Yep.
Well, that is something that a lot of people wouldn't have had experience.
That's right, yeah.
Did you feel when you were in the military that you had plenty of supplies to work with and protect
you? Yeah, we had
you?
Plenty of supplies. Yeah, we had everything we needed. We didn't lack anything at all. We had all the food we needed and ammunition and gas.
Okay. Because that's something they're talking about now.
Yeah, right.
Not having
one. Yeah, that's
need.
Right.
Can you describe any of the pressures that you felt as a soldier?
Well, of course, each time it was just a matter of, are we going to get back? Are we going to get hit with anti-aircraft? Or is your airplane going to fail and go down in the water? Because all we had was water. There was no land between our islands and Japan. It was all water, ocean. So we'd have been in the ocean and never got out.
And as a young man, just growing up a normal life, this is quite a change.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that was probably the most stressful.
Yeah, how many times a week do you think you went out?
Well, at least once a week. Yeah, it was once a week anyhow. Yeah, because I had 27 missions total.
And you said something about going over to Japan for some missions.
Well, that's where we flew all our missions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Except we did take pictures of Okinawa and some of those other islands that we invaded. We took pictures of those too. But that was usually on the way up to Japan.
Okay.
So it was usually most all missions were over Japan.
Did you receive any decorations or awards?
Yes, I received the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Air Medal, and I was a good kid, so they gave me the Good Conduct Medal, and then the three Victory Medals.
I'm going to take a picture.
And those are my wings, and my stripes that I wore, and the 20th Air Force.
And so what was your rank when you got out?
Staff Sergeant.
And each stripe is...
The three upper stripes shows a sergeant, and the one underneath shows staff. And the two circles underneath were tech sergeant, and the three were master sergeant.
Okay.
And I was staff.
You've got it displayed really nice.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, that thanks to Mike Vandervec over at the VA. He did it for me.
Oh. Have you always had that on display?
Oh, yeah. It's hanging right there.
How did you communicate with your family when you were
by
there?
Mail, strictly by mail.
And did it have to go through any censorship?
Oh yeah, they was censored over there, before it left, and then that was it.
Because I can remember getting, my grandmother got mail from an uncle, and mm-hmm. a lot of the things you couldn't hardly read.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
That he was there and
yeah,
it was
right.
okay.
Yeah.
How did you entertain yourself when you weren't doing?
Radio, usually radio. They had radio music on or something, programs, mystery programs on TV, on the radio. There was no TV. All we had was radio.
Okay, and did you listen to the propaganda out of Japan too?
Oh yeah, we did, yeah.
Someone said they had such good music.
Yeah.
They had the latest on that
Tokyo
channel.
Rose had good stuff, yeah, she did, yeah.
Were there entertainers that came?
Yeah, occasionally we did have entertainers that would come in and produce a big stage show, which was always good. They're all out of Hollywood. They're well known. I can't remember their names, but they were well known entertainers, and they did a real good job. Hmm?
What did you do when you left the military?
Well, I came back and I met Elizabeth just before I went in the service, and we corresponded, fell in love. And when I came home, we decided we were going to get married. So we did. Her dad was a German preacher down in Lincoln, Nebraska. So we got married in 1947. 47, yeah, right, 1947. And had a very good life until 2000. But you know, it was actually before that, 12 years before that, she got cancer. Mm-hmm. So it was tough, but then we still lived good.
Mm-hmm. What did you do when you were on leave in the military? We're going back and forth here.
All we did is just come home and relax with the family. And
did they fly you home from?
Usually, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so did you get?
Or by rail, one of the way, either
and
way.
And they paid your way totally to your home.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because that's another thing right now. They're saying they only fly you to the first point, and it's
oh,
up
is that
to
right?
you to get.
No, it was all the way.
Okay.
And either that or by rail.
And how much time would you have off on a leave?
Usually 21 days. I think that was about it, yeah.
Was it hard to go back after leaving?
Oh, yeah, it was. Because you had such great life at home.
Yeah.
And then you go back to that other life.
The contrast must have been
oh, yeah, it was.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
Do you recall any humorous or unusual event?
Well, only those ones that I expressed with the fighter and and the mission at Hiroshima after the atomic bomb was dropped. But that was really about it. It was always a good experience to get up there in that airplane and fly, though, because that was a good airplane.
Did you have fun in the service, though, when you're off, on off time?
Oh, no, we had some enjoyment, too. Yeah. Whenever they did have entertainment, and we'd tell jokes. And
did you make some good friendships when you were in the service?
Oh yeah.
And have you communicated
no,
with some of these?
No, it ended there. That was it. We had a lot of good friends. Yeah.
Did you meet any interesting people?
Boy, that's a real tough question. No, I don't believe it was. They were all just like me, just commoners.
Can you remember your worst military meal?
Worst military meal? Yeah, SOS. Of course, I won't repeat what it says, but that was grilled. Not grilled. Well, they would take I hate to think of dry beef that had been dried, and they'd cut it up in little pieces, and they'd put it in milk and flour and stuff like that, and put it over toast.
Oh.
Well, like I say, we had another name for it, but that was probably the worst meal.
Now, when you were in the military during wartime, did your military experience do some defining on your life?
Well, I think probably the most important was that it taught me to trust God, that He would help me and bring me home. And be honest and trust to the people in charge.
And I see you're still very patriotic. You've got
Oh, yeah, I got everything up.
your generation seems to be
I think you're
fiercely
right, yeah.
patriotic.
I think that makes a difference. Yeah.
Can you recall the day your service ended?
The what?
When your service time ended, can you recall that day?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure, because I was coming home to Elizabeth.
Oh.
That's her right there.
And so you were counting down the days?
Oh, yeah.
And were you in Guam? Did you make a direct comeback from
Yeah.
there or?
And we flew back. No, that was another problem. I didn't have enough points to fly home, so I had to come by boat. And that was 21 days on that stupid boat coming home from Guam. But we got here.
And then from there, did you have to go into
Then we
some
went
station for a
to yeah, we
while?
went to a station in California, and then from there we went by rail to Colorado, Denver, and then from there by rail to home, Lincoln, Nebraska.
So it took longer than you
Oh, it took a
really
long,
would have
oh yeah, it
wanted.
took long, a couple of days, yeah. It was a long trip.
And what did you do after you left the military service?
Well, like I say, I got married. I married Elizabeth, and I figured, well, I told her I was going to go back to work for the railroad, which is what I'd done before, because our family was railroaders. And she says, "Why don't you go to school? This is the government's going to pay for it." So I did. I went to the University of Nebraska and got a degree in business administration, and got my degree there. And then that's how I ended up in the life insurance business, because I got a job in Lincoln, Nebraska with a life insurance company while I was in school.
Any other benefits of the GI Bill that you use, like home buying or?
Well, that, and then of course I get a, I, when I'm getting a pension now, thanks to Mike, and he's taking care of all my health,
Okay.
the VA. Excuse me.
Okay, so you were in Lincoln, and then how did you end up in Fargo?
Oh, well, as I say, I went in the insurance business, and after I moved around in various cities, in four, I think it was four different cities, but because I was always looking for something a little better, a better job. So I ended up going like to Indianapolis, Indiana, and to Pennsylvania. It was my last town before Fargo. In Illinois. Yeah, and here. And then found out about this job at Pioneer Mutual. The vice president was retiring, Buzz Norling. He was going to retire. He was 60, 65 years old. So I applied and got his job, and I came here. That's how I ended up here. And I'm glad I came.
So it was a benefit to use the school bill to
Yeah.
educate yourself
Oh, yeah.
and then.
So we had a good life here.
So how long have you lived in Fargo?
Came in 1970.
Did you join any veteran organizations?
Just the DAV, the Disabled American Veterans.
And are you active in it or?
No, not anymore. I was, but when I had wheels and I was able to get around, but I don't have the wheels anymore, so.
What were some of the functions that the DAV does?
Well, they'd have annual feeds, money raising feeds, feasts, you know, and we sold tickets to that, and then we have speakers come in and tell us about various things going on. So it was a good organization.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to reminisce about with your military life?
Oh, there goes one. the airliner. No, well, of course, we went through Hawaii quite a few times, going over and coming back, and but that, then after that, my wife and I went over there for vacations, and we went up to move on to the island of Maui, and the volcano there is named Haleakala. And you would drive early in the morning, you'd drive up the side of that thing and park up on top and watch the sunrise. See the sun come up out of the water in the Pacific. Mm. It was something to see.
And having been there before, it must have brought back some memories.
Oh yeah.
But positive ones that you could share with your wife then.
Oh yeah,
when
right.
You were with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a lot of good life. Good vacations and stuff.
Yeah. So overall, even though it was wartime, do you feel that it was a necessary war?
Yeah, oh yes, it was, because the Japs and the Germans wanted to take over the country, or take over the world more or less, and rule the world, and it wasn't our way of ruling. It was a dictatorship. And it just wasn't what we wanted, and so it was a necessary war. Oh yes.
How do you feel that war has changed over the years? Do you feel it has?
I think it has. Yes, and of course, right now everybody is so up in arms about the way he's running it, and I think we went into it initially with the idea that we would help those people over there, but it apparently isn't working. So I don't know what to do. Hard to tell.
The battle plan seems different too. When
oh, yes.
We've got people
That's right.
sneaking around,
yeah.
It isn't so up front and just
yeah, right.
fighting
it's different.
Hand to hand.
Yeah.
Overall then, looking at your whole life and your experience, and especially your military, which is mm-hmm. quite dramatic experience for a young person, looking back at your life, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, I guess as an individual who trusted God and worked for people, helped people. That was probably it, yeah. Because I do a lot of that here.
Thank you.
I help people.